RelicRadio.com presents tales of the strange and bizarre, the weird and the wicked. Stories not necessarily of the supernatural, but of the unnatural. Join us now for Strange Tales, featuring radio drama at its most mysterious and unusual. This is Strange Tales. Welcome back. Thanks for joining me this Sunday. We'll hear from Theater 5 this week. Two episodes for you, since they're short. First off is A House of Cards, the second episode of the series that aired August 4th, 1964. After that, we'll hear Your Time is Up, their story from August 20th, 1964. Theater 5 was produced for ABC Radio for 260 episodes between August of 1964 and July of 1965. Here's the first story, A House of Cards.
I've been lying here with my eyes open. Something's wrong, isn't it?
Shh, don't wake the children.
It's the oxygenator, isn't it?
Yes, but that's not all.
I thought so. The motor?
No, the motor's fine. You can hear it for yourself. It's the generator I'm worried about.
What's wrong with it?
The fuel tanks. I think the blast shook them and they developed a slow leak. We've been losing fuel steadily for over 3 months now.
Isn't there anything we can do to fix it?
You know as well as I do that we can't. They're buried the same as we are, 40 feet away under 20 feet of earth. Even if I could dig over to them, it wouldn't do any good. The fuel's almost gone.
Oh, Ed, what are we going to do?
I don't know.
How much time do we have left?
I don't know. One day, maybe two.
Oh, Ed, I'm frightened.
And for the children's sake, try not to be.
What are we going to do?
Try to live today just as if it were any other day.
Theater 5 presents A House of Cards. Up. Everybody get up. Another day. Come on.
What time is it?
It's time to get ready for school.
Oh, I don't want to have school again today. I want to go outside and play.
Now, Mark, let's not start that again today.
Get up and get dressed, Mark. We need somebody to make the egg cycle go. Mother's going to make eggs this morning, and we'll need the extra power for the ventilator.
Oh, boy, eggs.
Oh, Mary, big deal, eggs. Every day it's the same old thing. Get up, ride the egg cycle, have school, take a nap, read, have more school.
Mark...
I want to go outside and play.
Play?
Now, Mark, you know very well why we can't go outside and play. The next thing you know, you'll have Mary all upset. Now, get dressed. We need the egg cycle to make the ventilator go over these eggs.
Daddy, yesterday Mark said that the bomb was 100 megaton that hit us.
I did not.
You did too.
I did not.
All right. That's enough.
Well, how big was it, Daddy?
I don't know.
It was 100 megatons, wasn't it, Dad?
No.
See?
On the radio, they said it was 100 megatons.
Let's not talk about the bomb.
It's all right, Ann. On the radio, they said it was between 50 and 100. They didn't know for sure. They have no way of knowing.
Did it knock down our house?
Yes.
And my school?
Probably.
How about Grandpa and Grandma's house?
I don't know. I think not. They're pretty far away.
Are Grandpa and Grandma still alive?
Ed.
It's all right, Aunt. I think they're still alive, Mary. Grandpa's a pretty smart man. He could have gotten them away before the fire got to them.
Mark said there was nobody left alive in the world but us.
Mark.
I did not.
You did too.
Now, Mark, that was a terrible thing to say.
Well, then how come we can't get anything on the radio anymore?
Ed, I don't think this is a subject we ought to discuss before breakfast.
I think it's better they know the truth when they ask for it, Anne. It's better than guessing about half-truths. Now, there could be any number of reasons why we can't pick up anything on the radio anymore, Mark. Maybe our antenna was destroyed by the firestorm that followed the blast. Maybe it's covered with radioactive ash. We know that most of the major cities were hit the same time ours was. Now, maybe the smaller cities don't have broadcasting stations powerful enough to reach us. It could be any number of things. But I can assure you of one thing. Somewhere, somehow, there are people left.
Is my bicycle gone, too?
Yes.
And the swing?
Oh, I knew this was going to lead to no good. Now, Mark, you march over to the X-cycle and get it going. This place is getting full of smoke. Now, Mary, darling, you wash your face and get out your homework. We're going to study fractions today. And you didn't do too well last time. Ed?
Yes?
The children are asleep now.
You gave them a pill?
Mm-hmm. In their orange juice. It should be safe to talk now. What are we going to do?
I don't know. I've been thinking about it.
Couldn't we run for it?
What do you mean?
When the air gives out in here, pick up the children and run. Maybe if we run fast and long enough, maybe we could get out of it.
I've thought about that, too. But the circle of radiation may be anywhere from 50 to 100 miles, depending on the size of the bomb and the wind drift. We couldn't make it in a day or 2 days, even if we ran.
Can't we open the ventilators?
No, it's still too hot out there. The exterior Geiger counter still reads more than 80 wrenches an hour. If we open the exterior ventilator an hour, it'd be as radioactive in here as it is out there.
Why has it stayed so hot so long? You said that within 3 months it would cool down long enough for us to leave.
I thought it would.
Well, what's gone wrong?
I don't know. Any number of things could have. Maybe we were closer to the blast than we figured we would be. Maybe we're covered with radioactive earth. It could be any number of things.
Couldn't we open the door and see?
No, it's too hot to expose the children to. It could ruin them.
Just a crack?
I'm afraid not.
Oh, I wonder what time it is.
2 o'clock.
No, I mean, I wonder what time it is outside.
About the same.
We don't even know what time it is, the day of the week or anything.
Yes, we do. I've kept it all marked off on the calendar.
Yes, but how many times has the clock stopped? Twice? 3 times?
Exactly twice.
Because you forgot to wind
it. Because we both forgot to wind
it. Well, I can't do everything. Cook meals on a single burner, keep house, and raise 2 children in a 9x12 room.
Anne.
Oh, I'm sorry, Ed. I didn't mean to snap at you that way. I'm just so tired of it all. It seems you try so hard and you never win. You build a fallout shelter to be safe from the bomb, and you have to worry about the firestorms that follow. So you make it completely self-contained. Water, food, air, enough to last you 6 months in case the radiation's hotter than you think.
Annie.
And the blast knocks the fuel line loose, and all your plans go up in the air like a puff of smoke.
Annie.
It just isn't fair, Ed. It just isn't
Anne,
fair.
Anne, you've got to control yourself.
I'm tired of being in control of myself. It's like a house of cards. You put one in wrong and the whole thing comes tumbling down.
Annie, please.
It isn't fair. It just isn't
Annie.
Fair.
Annie.
that is? Is that the generator?
No. No, that's the oxygenator. When the generator goes, everything will go. The lights, water, everything. And we've got to make some decisions.
Listen.
What?
Listen. It sounds like digging. There it is. Do you hear it?
Yes, I can hear it. Yes, you're right. It is digging.
They found us. Somebody's trying to rescue us.
Anne, wait.
They're here. We're safe.
Anne, stay away from that door.
But they're here. They found us.
Anne, we have no way of knowing who's on the other side of that door. The Geiger counter says it's 80 wrenches an hour out there. A rescue crew wouldn't enter an area this hot even with protective clothing.
But who else could it be?
I don't know. But whoever it is, we'd better make sure before we let him in. If he's been wandering around long out there, he won't be pretty to look at.
Listen, he's still at it.
Whoever it is, he's kept it up over 2 hours.
Who's out there, Dad?
I don't know, Marky, but we're going to find out. Hand me that Geiger counter, son.
You're not going out.
No, I just want to get a radiation reading in the airlock.
Here it is, Dad.
Stand back at the table, Anne, and keep Mary behind you.
All right, stand behind your father, Mark.
There's a reading of 10 just inside the inner door. Hotter in here. 10, 20, 40 at the door. That's hot. That means it's in excess of 80 outside.
Who's out there, Daddy?
I don't know. Let's see if I can make him hear us. There's someone out there, all right. He hears me, but he won't answer.
Who do you suppose it is?
I don't know.
Bill Bigler.
What?
Bill Bigler, from over the next block. He's the only one in our neighborhood that built a fallout shelter besides us.
But what would he be doing out there? He's got a Geiger counter. He knows it's too hot to be moving around out there.
Food.
What?
Food. They've run out of food.
Do you suppose?
I know it is. I talked to Alice on the phone the day after they finished their shelter. She asked me how much food we were stocking, and I said enough for 6 months. Well, she laughed and said they were only stocking for 3 months. Bill said no radiation would linger beyond that, and if it did, they wouldn't want to come up to see what the world looked like.
Could be. This is almost the fourth month. They could have lasted this long if they'd stretched things.
I know it's them.
Oh, they must be starving. We've got to help them.
No.
Anne, they're our neighbors.
We never so much as spoke to them until we built our shelters.
But they're human beings.
Ed, I'm warning you. Stay away from that door. Ed!
My!
Anne, put that rifle down. You're frightening the children.
If you open that door, Ed Johnson, I swear I'll shoot you.
Anne, try to be reasonable.
I am being reasonable. You can't build a shelter to protect your family from radiation and then throw it open to a total stranger.
Bill Bigler is not a total stranger.
He is if he's contaminated with radiation poisoning.
And all I plan to do is put some food and water in the airlock. I'll open the outer door and lock the inner one.
No.
He can't get inside with the inner door locked.
No, but the radiation can. You told me that.
Not that much.
Enough. You know that. Enough to hurt the children.
But, Anne, those people are starving to death.
Well, let them starve.
Anne.
Alice Bigler laughed when I told her we stockpiled enough food and water for 6 months. Well, let her laugh now.
Anne, this is insanity.
I mean what I say, Ed.
Mommy, please don't.
Anne, you're frightening the children. Please put the gun down.
Please, Mom.
Mommy, the light!
Oh, Well, why'd the lights go out?
Mark, go get the flashlight.
Oh, well, what happened,
Dad? We've just run out of fuel, that's all.
Will we be all right, Dad?
Yes, yes, nothing's wrong. I'll take care of it. It's time to go to bed anyway. Everybody undress and hop into bed.
What about the man outside?
Don't worry, he can't get in. I won't let him hurt you.
I'm scared. Daddy, I'm scared.
Don't be, Mary. It's all right, honey.
He's still at it.
Yes, but he's getting weaker.
What's he doing out there?
It sounds like he's trying to pry the door open. Depending on how long he's been out there, he must be pretty sick. He's probably leaning against the door, vomiting.
Oh, Ed, please.
I'm sorry. Are the children asleep?
Yes, finally. What are we going to do?
I don't know.
Ed, couldn't we please try and run for it?
And the most distance we could cover would be 20, 30 miles. In places, the ashes would be hip deep, maybe higher. In the end, we'd wind up like him. There just wouldn't be any point in it.
Couldn't we try and open the air vents?
No, it's still too radioactive for that. We might just as well open the door.
Oh, why has it stayed so hot for so long? The brochures, everything said you'd be able to leave at the end of 3 months, 4 at the most. Now, what went wrong?
If I knew, Ann, we wouldn't be here. So many things can go wrong that you never count on. Maybe we were just too close to the blast. I don't know.
How much air do you think we have left?
An hour. Maybe less.
What'll happen then?
The oxygen in the room will be gone and we'll start breathing our own carbon dioxide.
Will it be bad?
I don't know. If you're asleep, it shouldn't be bad. Certainly not as bad as being out there.
Do you think we'd stay asleep through it?
I was just wondering about that.
If we took sleeping pills?
Yes, then I think so.
Well, then that's the way I want us to go, Ed. Asleep. And all of us together.
That's what I was thinking, too.
I'll have to wake the children.
What for?
To give them a pill. I don't want either of them to wake up trying to breathe.
All right, dear, but hurry. Time's running out. I'll put some food and water in the airlock.
But why? You said it wouldn't do him any good.
I know. But maybe it'd be nice if just once before he dies, he knows the world isn't completely devoid of human beings. Hurry, Ann. The air is getting bad.
Mary, Mark. Wake up, Mark.
Hmm?
I want you to take these.
Is it time to get up yet?
No, darling. Just drink this and go back to sleep.
Tell me when it's time to get up.
I will. Mary, Mary.
What?
Mother wants you to take these.
What for?
To help you sleep.
I don't want any.
Oh, but Mary, they're good for you.
I don't want any.
Ed, I...
That's all right. Here. Give them to me. Mary, you have to take your pills, honey. We're all taking them, see? I'm taking mine. And Mommy's going to take hers. Oh.
What are they?
Oh, they're just sleeping pills so we can all go to sleep together.
Will we wake up together?
Yes, if we wake up, we'll all wake up the way we went to sleep together.
Oh, I want some pills, too.
Here you are, honey.
Good night, Mommy. Good night, Daddy.
Good night, Mary.
I don't want to cry.
It's all right, dear.
I love them both so much.
I know. I love them, too.
I love you all. Everything. So much.
I love you, darling. I'm sorry I couldn't make it work. I tried. I tried very hard.
I know. We all tried. It's not your fault. It was just a house of cards, that's all. It couldn't work.
I love you, Anne.
Just hold me, dear. Try to sleep.
I love you all very much.
I love you, too. Just hold me.
Get those stretchers in here. Take the children first.
Take the woman's pulse, Greg. She got too hysterical near the end.
Do we have the stomachs pumped, Doctor?
No, they took only one sleeping pill apiece. That much will just help them sleep the whole thing off. Be careful with those children there.
Would you say the experiment was a success?
A family of four in a 9x12 fallout shelter for 9 months? Yes, I'd say they did pretty well.
But they lost touch with reality toward the end.
You probably would have, too, if your only contact with reality was the radio. And suddenly that was taken away from you.
But they really thought they were survivors in a fallout shelter. The last people left alive on Earth.
Greg, that was the purpose of the experiment. To change the variables until you find the breaking point. Anybody can survive when everything's running smoothly, but break their communication, disrupt their fuel supply, threaten them with the unknown from without. And they did pretty well. For 2 months, they wouldn't mention to each other that they were losing fuel. Neither one would mention it, for fear of frightening the others. They did pretty well.
Then the experiment was a success.
No, the experiment wasn't a success, but the people were. As long as people have to hide under the ground, all experiments are failures. But maybe we can learn how to protect the people so they can outlive the failures of experimenters. Watch that stretcher there. Be as gentle as you can. That's a human being you're carrying.
Presented A House of Cards, written by George Bamber and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Vicki Bola, George Petrie, Bryna Rayburn, Cecil Roy, and Guy Sorrell. Audio engineers Bill Sandreuter and Marty Folia. Sound technicians Ed Blaney and M.C. Brock. Original music by Alexander Vlastotsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Edward A. Byron. We invite your comments. Write to Theater 5, Box 233, New York, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking.
It isn't for me. I wish I were back on McDougal Street. Bobby! Oh, Lord. The shed. Just like in my dream. Bobby! 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 Oh! Oh, no! Bobby, my baby. Oh, my darling, no! No!
Theater 5 presents Your Time Is Up.
pretty? Dover Ridge pretty? Well, grass it's got, and trees. Green stuff like that. Sure. So's the cemetery. Moving out here was Paul's idea. I want Bobby brought up in the country, Rhoda, like I was, he told me. Well, not if his pop works in the city, I says. Honestly, I should have had my head examined. Me, Rhoda Powers, buried here in the sticks. Away from theaters and concerts and everything. Oh, not that I got to them very often. Pretty. From the first day I came to live here, Dover Ridge gave me the creeps. Lonely? Nuts, it was driving me psycho. Paul, I'd say, I got a feeling. This place is just no good for Bobby.
Oh, Rhoda, that's ridiculous. You're just projecting your own neurotic urban compulsions.
Go fight City Hall. No, Paul, I'm talking about the baby. I told you about this horrible feeling these last couple of days.
Feeling? Delusion?
Delusion, schmelusion. Paul, I can't get it out of my head. Like I see Bobby lying dead near that rickety old shed.
Oh,
Paul, please, take us back to the city, anywhere. Brooklyn, even. We don't have to live in Greenwich Village again.
Rhoda, stop the hysteria.
Hysteria? 2 days later, that was exactly where I found Bobby. Poor little doll. The rusty points of the big hay raker driven through his body near the rickety old shed. Oh, that train whistle, it's been driving me bats all morning. I must be hearing things. There aren't that many trains a month through Dover Ridge. Paul. Paul, it seems to say Paul. Now I understand. It's that feeling like just before Bobby died. The train. Paul, 5:36 train tonight. An accident. Oh, of course. He's got it coming to him, Paul does. Even after Bobby left us, he wouldn't move back. Leaving me here all alone by myself all day. It's no wonder Arthur and I got together. Arthur at least listened to me. That is when he wasn't telling me about his painting. Arthur. If it happens, if Paul is like I have this feeling, we wouldn't have to sneak around like now. Oh, wouldn't that be something? Hey, girl, let's tell him now, huh?
Hello?
Arthur, you busy?
Oh, hi, funny face. I thought you weren't going to call me today.
Listen, Arthur,
know I have a deadline on this cover, baby. I was painting all last night.
It's about Paul.
What about Paul? Did he say anything about us? Hey, have you been blabbing?
Oh, for heaven's sakes, no, nothing like that. I just had a feeling all morning that we won't have to worry about that kind of thing much longer.
A feeling? Rhoda, do you know something that I don't?
Well, something's going to happen to Paul. I know.
You know what?
He's going to be in a train accident today.
What?
Goodbye, Paul.
Baby, if this is your idea of a joke...
No joke, Arthur. It's just like before Bobby. I have the same feeling about Paul all this morning.
Oh, good Lord, not Paul. But, look, Rhoda, it's just a feeling.
Well, with Bobby, it happened. And ever since, I'm like clairvoyant.
Well, if you're that certain, Rhoda, you ought to take steps. You know, try to prevent it somehow.
Why? Paul didn't lift a finger to save Bobby. And if it happens, well, you and I, we'd be free to do whatever we want.
Oh, there, hold your horses. Rhoda, don't count on me. You know, I've never promised anything.
Arthur, you said you loved me.
Oh, now, baby, you've been around. Just because we got kind of thrown together with Paul away all day, Paul's my friend. We should have broken off long ago. You know that. Rhoda, I can tell you lately I have felt like a louse.
We ought to. Playing me for a chump.
Look, I got to get back to work.
Goodbye, Arthur.
Come on, no hard feelings. And Rhoda, do me a favor. Call Paul. Keep him away from that train today. Don't
for nothing. Just like I'd been bounced down the stairs. That's how I felt. Arthur's voice kept coming at me.
Don't forget, Brody, you love Paul enough to marry him.
I couldn't remember ever being that cockeyed about Paul. Mostly I remember hating to eat dinner all by myself in some joint.
Someday you'll thank me.
Oh, that'll be the day. It's not like I wanted Paul to die in a train accident. I just knew he would.
Keep him away from that train today.
No, why should I? Maybe I ought to try. If anything happened to Paul and I hadn't tried, it would be like I did it myself. Now, that kind of a girl I'm not.
Kenmore Advertising, good morning.
Paul Powers, please.
Mr. Powers is in conference.
Well, this is Mrs. Powers. Doris, it's urgent.
Oh, sorry, Mrs. Powers. He can't be disturbed.
Would you please give me Mr. Powers?
All right, Mrs. Powers, but I'm not responsible. One moment, please.
Yes, Powers. What is it, please?
Paul, it's me, Rhoda.
Look, I told that girl not...
Paul, listen, I am very upset.
Rhoda, I can't have you interrupting my work all the time.
Paul, you remember when Bobby was...
Oh, Rhoda, don't start that again. Please. I'm late for an appointment. I'll see you tonight.
Paul! Paul, please! I called back. They said he'd be out all day. That just left one chance. Almost every day, Paul phoned me from the same booth a few minutes before he got on the train, just so I could mix the martinis and toss the salad. Well, that's the kind of guy he is. He runs his life on a schedule like a train. So all I had to do was sit watching the clock all day, waiting for his call. Hello? Paul?
Rhoda, it's me, Arthur.
Arthur? I got nothing to say to you.
Have you gotten hold of Paul?
No, I couldn't reach him. And don't bother me and don't come around.
Well, Paul would be suspicious if I suddenly disappeared.
Look, if you don't get off the phone, Buster, he won't be alive to be suspicious. It's almost train time. Goodbye. Oh, come on, ring. Ring. Oh, call, you stupid idiot. Call. Paul. Paul, is it you?
Are you expecting somebody else?
No. No, of course not.
Your phone was busy a minute ago. Who are you talking to?
It was just a wrong number.
Was it? Mm. Well, regular time. Have things ready?
No. No, Paul, no.
No?
No, don't hang up.
Well, if I don't get on now, somebody will take my seat. You know how I hate to sit anywhere else.
Remember when I called you this morning?
Oh, we'll talk about it tonight at 8:45.
No, listen to me, Paul. Don't get on the train, huh? Stay in New York tonight.
Rhoda, I don't want to be in your way or anything. I don't have to come home tonight. I don't have to come home again ever.
Paul, it's nothing like that.
Well, just why do you want to be alone?
Alone? If there's anything I hate, it's being alone. That's why you can't come home tonight.
You're not talking sense, Rhoda.
Oh, all right, I didn't want to, but I'll tell you. All day long, I've had the same feeling I had before Bobby was killed. Only this time, it was going to be you. And it was going to be the 5:36 train to Dover Ridge.
Oh, now, really, Rhoda, how ridiculous can you get? Look, you took a course in psychology at the new school, didn't you? Can't you recognize a death wish when you see it?
But, Paul, I don't want to see you die. If I did, I wouldn't have tried to call you up. Oh, Paul, please don't be so smug. Please, please let the train go without you.
Absolutely not. I'm not running my life for your crazy whims. I'm getting my usual seat and my regular train at my regular time.
Well, then go ahead. Just go ahead and do it. Do it. Get on your regular train and take your regular seat. I did everything I could. Now die, do you hear me? Die if you want to. Die. Die! As I told Paul to go ahead and die if he wanted to, I sizzled down. Nobody, but nobody has a temper like mine. I knew I had to make one more try to stop him from getting on that train. Like I say, Paul always called me from the same booth. And once I jotted down the number so I could call him back. Oh, busy.
Someone took the booth. Yes?
Hi, Rhoda, it's me again.
Oh, Paul. I called the booth and the line was busy.
I was dialing you. Look, the train leaves in a minute. I called because you sounded so funny.
I was disturbed. You weren't paying any attention to me. And I know, I guess it sounds like a cockamamie story, but worst comes to worst, you stay in New York and there's no accident.
Well, you say you hate to be alone at night in the country.
Well, one night is better than forever, right?
What gave you the idea that I'd be in a train accident?
I don't know, but didn't I tell you about Bobby before he was killed?
Yes, Rhoda, you did, and I wish to God I'd listened to you.
Well, Paul, will you listen to me now?
But, honey, the whole thing is so irrational.
Oh, for once in your life, admit that there are some things you can't figure out with reason and psychology. Brains I don't have, Paul. So maybe I got something else. Intuition, sixth sense, who knows? Just stay off the train, please.
You really care?
Oh, what do you think I am, Paul? Heartless or something? Look, I tried to call you at the office, and then you were out, and I couldn't do anything but wait.
You really care that much, Rhoda?
Well, what's so strange?
Well, I just didn't know. You've been so remote from me recently.
Well, maybe you've been Cary Grant to me.
Oh, there's my train now. I've got to run.
No, no.
No, Rhoda.
Oh, please, please.
I can't figure you out, honey. But tonight I'm going to do what you ask.
You'll stay?
All aboard.
The 536 is pulling out now.
Oh, Paul, I'm so happy I could scream.
You know how I feel? I'm going to go down to the village and celebrate.
Where?
To Bonvini's. Where else? Isn't that where I met you?
Oh, I wish I were with you.
So do I. You know, I'll never forget that first time. Remember what you said when Luigi asked if I could sit at your table? You said, I'll eat with anybody. Now, was that nice?
Well, how about you? The way you looked at me, as if I were just a thing.
No, Rhoda. I just didn't know any girls like you. The copper bracelet, the dangling earrings, the thongs on your feet, that peasant blouse. So low cut.
You sure noticed that. You almost got tangled up in your spaghetti.
You know, Rhoda, I've never had so much fun before. You were so lively and so different from anyone I ever knew.
Well, you looked as if you could stand for fun. You were so stiff and proper, like you were sitting, standing at attention.
I didn't even know your name. You know what I could never figure out, darling?
Sure I know. Me.
I never could figure out why you paid any attention to me.
Now, what's so hard about that? You were a man. Only, sometimes you looked like a boy in his Sunday school suit. Besides, you treated me like a lady, and you seemed to have everything. I don't mean money, though. You had a lot more of that than the village characters I was going out with. But you seemed to know who you were, and where you were going, and why. And you had a haircut and a press suit, and you didn't laugh a lot, but when you did, it was... It wasn't so that people would look at you. And all the things I sweated to have, like education and poise and distinction, you know? Well, they seemed born with you. I guess that's why I fell for you like a ton of bagels, Paul. And when you hinted we might get married, ooh, I felt like I was Cinderella after the shoe fitting.
Rhoda, you never told me that.
I didn't think you'd like to hear it. Gee, I thought you liked me because I was kooky and cool.
Your time is up. Deposit 45 cents, please.
Oh, one moment, operator.
Thank you, sir.
Paul, you're spending a fortune.
Worth every penny. You know, I've learned more over the phone here than in 8 years of marriage.
Well, you could also talk to me sometime when it doesn't cost. You could leave your attaché case in the office some evening. We could have fun like we used to.
I'll bet we could. It's been a long time, Rhoda.
Oh, tomorrow, Paul. You'll see. We'll start catching up, huh?
Tomorrow? Why not tonight?
Oh, but you're going to Bonavini's, and the next train is in an hour and a half.
Oh, what's Luigi's without you, darling? And who says I have to wait for the next train? I'll take a cab.
A cab? All the way to Dover Ridge? You're crazy.
About you, Rhoda, yes?
Oh, darling, tell the taxi to hurry.
I'm on my way before that operator can say your time is up again.
Your time is up. Deposit 45.
Never mind, operator. Bye, darling. In those few minutes, yakking with Paul on the phone, all the rust and cobwebs in our marriage were cleared away.
I was looking forward to Paul's coming home. It was a long time since I felt that way about him. Still, that funny feeling I'd had all day still hung around. And it had the same ingredients. Paul, the 5:36 train, an accident. Only now, in my mind, it got all mixed up with the operator saying,
"Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up. Your time is up."
It made no sense now. Because Paul loved me and he trusted me. So he'd given up the train. He was coming by cab. No matter what happened to the train, nothing could harm Paul. Oh, it was 6 o'clock. I had a lot to do before Paul arrived. As I started to prepare dinner, I had a funny thought. Arthur had said that someday I'd thank him. I thought he was crazy. Well, it was Arthur who told me to get a hold of Paul and tell him to stay off the 5:36. So when I was about ready...
Hello?
Arthur? Rhoda.
Yes?
I wanted to talk to you.
Look, kiddo, I told you this morning that I didn't want to play games anymore.
Oh, me neither, Arthur. That's over. But I just have a couple of minutes before Paul will be in.
The train hasn't passed here.
He's not coming by train, Arthur. I got a hold of him and I talked him out of it. And you know what?
Paul wanted to get home to me so badly. He took a cab all the way to New York.
Paul spent money on a cab? Oh, no.
Anyway, Arthur, you know what you said this morning? That someday I'd thank you?
I think you will.
Well, this is the day.
Rhoda, you're a good kid. Hey, Rhoda, guess what? I see Paul's cab.
You do?
Yeah, on the road. It sure looks funny. A New York City cab way out here. Boy, it's gone about 80.
What's that? Is that the train?
Yeah, it's just at the crossing. Oh. Oh, no. Rhoda, the cab. Paul's cab is racing the train to the crossing.
Arthur?
No!
Over Ridge. He liked it here. And so I stayed. I hate the country and I'm alone. But I guess I'd hate it and be alone anywhere. We came here because Paul wanted Bobby brought up in the country. Well, now they're both gone. But I might as well stay. I know that no matter what I do, even if I live in a crowded city, I'll never escape my loneliness.
Theater 5 has presented Your Time Is Up, written by Raphael David Blau and directed by Warren Somerville. In the cast, Natalie Priest, Betty Walker, Paul McGrath, and Norman Rose. Audio engineer Neil Pultz. Sound technician Ed Blaney. Script editor Jack C. Wilson. Original music by Alexander Vlastatsenko. Orchestra under the direction of Glenn Osser. Executive producer for Theater 5, Edward A. Byron. We invite and would appreciate your comments. Write to Theater 5, New York 23, New York. This is Fred Foy speaking.
That's our strange tale for this week. I hope you enjoyed it. You can find more from Theater 5 at relicradio.com alongside all the other podcasts, our Shoutcast stream, and our donate button. If you'd like to help support this and all the shows, give that button a click. Your support is how all of this has been made possible for the past 10 years plus, and with your support, we can go for another 10. Thanks for joining me this week. I'll talk to you again next Sunday with another episode of Relic Radio's Strange Tales.